With great mojo comes great responsibility. Mojo 5-0.
Mojo 5-0.
We will make America great again.
Sam Sorbo.
Hi there, welcome to the Sam Sorbo Show. Thanks so much for joining me. I've got a big show for you today. First, we're going to talk about Democrats that are switching parties and why. I want to know. There's a Miami private school that is now in the crosshairs. I will tell you why, but you won't believe me, but I will tell you why. And so wait for that. And then I also have a guest coming on the show to talk about big tech, this puppet show that's being performed by big tech, and maybe a little bit about what we can do about it. So without further ado, let me get to my first guest, because the Democrats have been switching parties, and we need to know what is going on. So hold on, I got to bring it up here. We know that there's a push for socialism, right? And we've seen that, that there are a lot of Democrat socialists now. They call themselves Democrat socialists. We'll talk about that with my guest, Jessica Marie Baumgartner, who is a homeschooling mother of four young children. She's also the author of Walk Your Path and The Magic of Nature. Her work's been featured by the Epoch Times, one of my favorites, and also American Thinker magazine. So welcome to the show, Jessica. And I guess I have to ask you to unmute.
Mm-hmm.
Just do that. Oh, there you go. Okay. So welcome to the show. So we're talking about socialism and this idea that there are some Democrats who are actively walking away from it.
Absolutely. Most recently, John Lee of North Las Vegas, the mayor of North Las Vegas, just switched parties. He said it's not the party that he grew up with. You know, after 25 years, he said the Democrats, 4 out of 5 that he has been meeting with are card carrying socialist members, and they're proud of it. And he is not part of that. He doesn't think that this is a great thing. He's a big fan of our, you know, Democratic Republic. So,
well, yeah, it's amazing that he's actually, can I use this term, woke? he's woken up to the wokeness that has now pervaded the Democrat Party. And I've said this, and I say it in interviews all the time, that you know, to a person, we shouldn't be negative about Democrat people who are members of the Democrat Party, because they could possibly be misguided or misinformed or just not understanding. But people who are involved in politics, who make a living in political office, they ought to know better. And so here we have a great example in John Lee of somebody who figured it out. That's huge.
I think a lot of people are waking up to that. I mean, if you go through the public education system, you come out most likely voting Democrat. I used to be a Democrat, and I was an independent for a very, very long time. This past election cycle was like the first time that I had ever voted Republican, because I had seen what was going, you know, the shift so far to the left has become like a push for tyranny, big tech, big government, everything being pushed into the centralized area where we have less control over what we get to do with our lives and how we handle our individual, you know, education, our money, where our tax dollars are going. All of this, it's all very, very connected. Then it was the Obama era that kind of woke me up to that. You know, I was so excited for change, and nothing really changed other than, you know, more government in my life, which I don't really want.
You don't want more government, but they do things so well. Don't you love the way that the DMV accomplishes what its mandate is?
I'm also very, very concerned about the VA and the public education system. I couldn't put my kids in that, especially with the way that things are going.
So without giving away too much detail, in what area of the country do you live?
I'm smack dab in the middle. I'm in Missouri. I'm just outside of St. Louis. So, and I'm very proud of that. I'm not too afraid to talk about it.
No, but that's interesting, because, you know, we think of the middle of the country as not being as woke, say, as, you know, the two extremes. And yet you're in Missouri and saying, not putting my kids in public school. And that's a brave choice. I see that there are some playthings in the background. So your kids are young. How old is your oldest?
My oldest is 11, and my youngest was born last year. I had a quarantine baby, so we've got kids. Yeah.
So for the 11-year-old, when did you start home educating? Did they ever go to school?
She has never been in public school. We were living in an unaccredited school district when she started, and she would have been the only white kid in class. And I'm cool with people of all walks of life, but she definitely, you know, was a target in the neighborhood as it was. And I hate saying that, but, you know, when you're the person who stands out the most, everybody sees you, and it's uncomfortable sometimes. So we decided we were going to school at home because I had the credentials and the ability to start there. And I've always been really interested in education. So I've done lots of research and lots of studying and trying to make sure that I give her the best education possible. And then from there, it just snowballed. And then, you know, I have two daughters, they're my older ones. And then I have two little boys, and I'm so glad that they're not going to be pulled into, you know, the gender identity, public education, critical race theory BS right now.
Yeah, the critical race theory is so dangerous. Why? What is your objection to critical race theory? Let's start there.
I look at critical race theory and I understand that it probably comes from like a place of love. You know, people are like, we want everybody to be equal. But to me, if you teach, you know, white man bad, you're going to create hate, whether it's against one group of people or multiple groups of people. It's strengthening divides. And to me, I think that the content of our character should be what we're judged by. Now, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was always one of my heroes growing up. And it's funny when I hear Kamala Harris say things like that, but then she's pushing division between races, which is not what this country was built on. We're supposed to be a melting pot, and we're supposed to equal everyone. You know, we're supposed to value everyone equally. And I look at my sons, and you know, they're these very pale, you know, little European mutts, I guess. You know, my husband is mostly Jewish, and I do have some Native American ancestry, but I don't want to be judged by that, and I know my kids don't want to be judged by that already at this point.
Right. And you don't, well, in any case, you don't want that for your children, right?
Absolutely not. I don't want that for anybody's children. And I think that a lot of parents who do want that have been misguided.
Yeah. So critical race theory really teaches it very one-sided. And what's interesting about it is the assumption with critical race theory is that if you're white, one, you have privilege that other people don't have. And two, you're racist to the extent that other people are not, right? Which in itself preaches inequality.
It does. And well, and the, it's really funny when people say, you know, if you're white, you have privilege. And I understand that everybody has, you know, their own frame of reference. We all have our own communities that we come from. But I come from a poor background, from a diverse neighborhood. I've been homeless before. So when somebody looks at me and is like trying to say, well, you're privileged because you're white, I have to pull the homeless card.
Like, amazing card to be able to pull, frankly.
It's an uncomfortable one, but I try to have a sense of humor about it because, you know, life can come at anybody from a negative angle. And to be able to pull yourself up out of that, that is a very American ideology. The American dream is being able to, you know, work hard and lift yourself up, even if you're in the gutter. And we still have that. And for critical race theory specifically to say, oh, well, you can't do that if you're this color or if you're from this area. So we need to fix the system. I'm like, we don't need to fix the system. We need to get corruption out of the system. And that brings it back to John Lee. He's realizing that the system is being corrupted by the socialist democratic movement, and that it's very good that people are waking up to that. But then I look at issues of like HR 1, where they're trying to almost lock in the ability to commit voter fraud, which isn't really going to help us, you know, break up the socialist democrat agenda.
What's the solution now? I mean, John Lee, great. Let's get his name out there. Let's point people in his direction. We've got other people that are talking about exiting the Democrat Party, you know, Jexit, Blexit. There are a couple of different groups about, you know, encouraging people to exit the Democrat Party. But you raise the big problem that we're facing right now, and that's election fraud. And, you know, the funny thing is, if you want to know the truth, look at what you're not allowed to talk about. We're not allowed to talk about election fraud for this, at least for this most recent election. The one before was apparently rife with fraud, which everybody, right? But this one, no, this one was the safest election that we've ever had, according to the official in charge of elections or something, which I thought was really a remarkable statement because he had absolutely no proof to back it up. He simply said it. And it always bothers me. And there's a lot of this going on right now, which I'm going to get into when you and I are finished talking. There's a lot of statements that are being made with absolutely no evidence, zero evidence. In fact, a preponderance of evidence to the contrary. So I was just on an interview talking about the dangers that lurk within the schools, and they're myriad, right? One of them is bullying. We do have a bullying problem in our schools. Perhaps it's because we teach bullying in our schools, and I can get into that with somebody if they need the explanation, but I've said it many times. But there was an incident several years ago in Baltimore public schools. Two young women beat up another young woman, something over a boy, I believe. They beat her to death in the bathroom. They beat her to death, middle school aged young women. And they beat her to death. And here's this was a tragedy. And I was covering it on air at the time. I was live on air. And it was a horrible, horrible story. Within an hour, the superintendent of schools came out and announced, "Our schools are safe." And like my jaw dropped, like I was on air and I'm like, guys, I'm struggling for words right now. I'm not even sure how to respond to that. She just said it. Now she can point to, she could have said statistically, the statistical probability of your child being beaten to death by two other children, you know, she might have. No, all she did was come out and say, "Our schools are safe." Well, clearly not.
Right. Oh my gosh.
And yet, you and I live in a culture today where we don't ask questions because I don't know about you. I went to public school. Did you go to public school?
I went to public school. Yeah. Yep.
So, and even if you went to private school, the paradigm is there. It's basically, they took this idea, Horace Mann, took this idea and then implemented it like the conveyor belt, what was the Industrial Revolution stuff right through our schools. The idea is you have to sit there, shut up, don't speak unless you raise your hand and ask permission to speak, and accept everything that the teacher tells you without question.
It's like a factory at this point. Yeah.
Sorry, say that again.
It's like a factory at this point.
And so, and it now has taken, so we've all ingested that. That's where we are in our lives today. And so we just, our offset is do what we're told and don't ask questions and believe the experts, but don't ask for credentials. Because did you ever ask for the credentials of your teacher?
No.
I was listening to, I was listening to an interview today. There's a young math teacher at, Grace Church School, I think it is. And he stepped out and said, "I don't think that we should be teaching critical race theory, and I won't teach a bunch of lies to my students," or something like that. He wrote something, Barry Weiss published it. It's gotten a lot of attention. And so he's now doing interviews, and I heard an interview with him and his credentials for teaching math. And by the way, I don't have a problem with this. Okay. But I have to point out, he didn't study math in school. He studied history, French literature. He didn't study math. And then he went to school and studied psychology of learning or something like that. And then he became a math. Now, I personally don't have a problem with that. I never studied radio, but I do radio. I never studied, you know what I mean? Like, I never studied filmmaking. I never went to college for filmmaking. And yet I've made several films. I didn't go to college for acting either. I went to college for biomedical engineering, and yet look at me now. Like, you know, I believe that we are infinitely capable. I actually believe that our education system teaches us the opposite. It teaches us just how incapable we are, which is why parents feel incapable of educating their children. And so, you know, you're the brave soul who said, I don't like what's happening over there. I'm just going to avoid it and do my own thing. But that is a very brave position. And it's it takes a lot of courage and a lot of stamina, because society still says, why are you standing out? In fact, part of the reason that you didn't put your child in school was because you understood intrinsically she would be standing out.
It is a leap that you have to take, you know, when you decide to educate your kids, because there's all of these credentials now, like you were saying, everybody has to have a degree in this, or you have to have your early childhood education that. And I'm like, I just try to take it year by year. You know, I didn't go to college to be a teacher, but I also didn't go to college to be a writer, and I am a writer. So
there
it is. Yeah. But, year by year, you know, there's material out there, and it kind of helps me keep myself sharp. You know, I've kept my college math notes so that I don't know, I kept them, and now I'm using them with my 11-year-old even. So if you start small, you know, start by teaching your kids their ABCs and their colors and their shapes, and just keep going, you know,
and just keep going. And people say, but how do I know that I'm checking out all the boxes? How do I know that I'm, accomplishing, well, there are ways to know, but here's the other thing. Why must we, you know, do these mile markers? That's not what education is. And that's the big problem that we have today, is we do not have a good working definition of the word education. Right. So, okay. We need to finish up. You wrote a piece about John Lee that's up at the New American. Is that right?
That is true. Yes.
So if anybody wants to go and read that, that's up at the New American. How can people find you? Or do you have a site or something?
I have a website. That's where all of my stuff is. Not everything I write is political, but the political pieces, they are very important to me. But yeah, my website is just jessicamariebaumgartner.com. I'm also on Minds because I love free speech. So if you are on Minds.com, it's kind of the alternative, like to the alternative. It's just kind of not tapped into as much as the other social media sites, but I kind of like that.
That's so alternative. I actually have never heard of it. Minds.com.
Yeah.
Well, you learn something new every day if you're paying attention. All right. Jessica Murray Baumgartner, thank you so much for coming on the program. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
So we're going to move on and talk about this private school in Miami. This literally just came across my desk. I'm so excited to share this with you. I think it's fascinating. And so, I'm not going to have enough time to get through it, I think, but we will try. So there's a school in Miami called Centner. It's a private school founded by a husband and wife. And, first of all, you can go to their website and read the article that they have up that's titled Medical Freedom from Mandated Vaccines. This is Centner Academy in Miami. They're a private school. Not terribly expensive, it looks like. I think they're about $20,000 a year. The article starts this way. Your son or daughter may not be able to attend their first day of school until they are fully vaccinated. While these regulations were established to help protect all children, the amount of unknown risks associated with vaccinations will have you seriously second-guessing whether this policy should be upheld. Rather than helping children's immune systems, there is a large belief in the United States that the excess mandatory vaccines is actually damaging them. In fact, in the past 20 years, U.S. statistics prove that children are experiencing double rates of attention deficit disorder and learning disabilities, doubled rates of asthma, tripled rates of diabetes, and a rise in autism in every single state, at the rate of 600%. So they go on to talk about the vaccines and how basically they will be there to have discussions with parents. They say there is no one size fits all to vaccines. And that's why they're following Florida law to allow the parents to complete a medical or religious exemption form to opt out of the school vaccination program. But then they sent a letter out and actually spoke also on a Zoom video chat with parents, I guess. And so there was a big hullabaloo over this, because the letter asked parents not to get, asked parents, no, sorry, the letter asked their teachers not to get the vaccine. So in the center of all of this is the co-founder, the it's a husband and wife. The wife went on and also issued this letter saying, please wait until the end of the year to get the vaccine if you're to the teachers. And if you're choosing to get the vaccine, you may not be invited back in the fall. FYI, just to let you know. So this is fascinating on a number of levels. One, it's fascinating because the fact checking. So this is off Vaxopedia.org, and they propose that they are fact checking the Centner Academy letter to parents and teachers. And I wanted to go through this briefly. You may have heard that Centner Academy, a Florida school founded by David and Layla Centner, is not allowing teachers to get vaccinated and protected against COVID-19 because they think the COVID-19 vaccines shed spike proteins. Of course, this isn't true. Well, okay, forgive me, the grammarian, I'm terrible, but what exactly isn't true? Of course, they're referring to the Centner position about the vaccines, but if you read this properly, it isn't true that you've heard that. Sorry. So already my hairs are raised because the person writing this is an idiot. Oh, I shouldn't say that. The person writing this has poor grammar skills, poor skills of communication. But wait, it gets worse. To be clear, the part of shedding isn't true. This is from Layla Centner. It was an eventful week that also included an important meeting among our faculty and staff where we shared the difficult decision that moving forward until further notice, we ask any employee who has not yet taken the experimental COVID-19 injection, and mind you, she never calls it a vaccination because the FDA doesn't call it a vaccine. I'm sure that's why. To wait until the end of the school year, we recommended also that faculty and staff hold off on taking the injection until there's further research available on whether this experimental drug is impacting unvaccinated individuals. It is our policy, to the extent possible, not to employ anyone who has taken the experimental COVID-19 injection until further information is known. So they are encouraging people not to get the shot. Of course, the article writes, the school's really encouraging teachers not to get vaccinated. She said she sent the letter with a heavy heart. She said that the vaccines are still in an experimental state. They are not yet FDA approved. This is true. They have emergency use authorization, the EUA. Clinical trials are not scheduled to be complete until 2023. Did you hear that? Clinical trials are not scheduled to be complete until 2023. And she continued, it will be years before we have reliable information regarding short and long-term effects of the COVID-19 vaccines. I guess she does refer to them as vaccines. I misspoke there. There are, and then the article does not refute any of that, which I find so fascinating because they put it up. They say they're fact-checking. Apparently, all those facts are facts and true. And then it says that they are EUA, and like most vaccines, they have completed phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials, whatever that is, right? And have been found to be safe and effective. Well, then why aren't they approved as vaccines? Clinical trials are ongoing to confirm long-term safety and efficacy. Trust us. We'll find out how safe they are in the long term later, after everybody who has volunteered to be guinea pigs for the long-term trials completes the trial. I'm sorry. Really? You know, look, if you want to get the shot, get the shot. That's fine. Although what they are saying is that, I can't weigh in on this. I'm not that technological, but there are a ton of reports of people saying that they have had side effects from being around people who got the vaccine. Now, that's absurd. Women saying that their cycles have been much heavier, or that they've stopped menstruating, or you know, they've had these issues, or that they've miscarried because somebody near them got the vaccine, and that's absurd, right? And then I would just point out that we do know that women who work closely together for any period of time, their cycles tend to sync up. The cycles sync, and then they're all having their cycle at the same time. And that is a proven scientific event. It just happens. It's not that we know how it happens. It just happens. There are reports of women getting the vaccine and miscarrying within days. There are reports of people dying within days of getting the vaccine. It could all be just circumstantial. It doesn't mean causality, but there are these reports. What I struggle with is that we're not allowed to see those reports. Facebook takes them down. YouTube takes them down. Google prevents them in searches. That's what I struggle with. Because if you want to know the truth, just look at what you're not allowed to talk about. Just look at what, I mean, that's sort of a weird, it's an adage from, I think it's from 1980, the book 1984 or Fahrenheit 451. Is that it? So I'm just saying it's fascinating, right? We live in interesting times. This article goes on to say, because she raises some questions about the vaccines and the shots, et cetera. She says, in a large diverse cohort in the United States, full immunization with mRNA vaccines was highly effective in the real world scenario at preventing COVID-19 related they are citing, here, in addition to the fact that there have only been 74 deaths. So they cite some statistics. And they restate that COVID vaccines work. They just say it. COVID vaccines work. Yay. They cite these statistics, 74 deaths among the 75 million people who have been vaccinated. Let's step back, because it's not just 74 deaths. It's 74 deaths that have been reported to this source, but they don't give us the source. Okay. 75 million people who've been, where's the source that 75 million people who've been vaccinated? And at a time when there were over 15 million cases of COVID-19. So if there have only been 74 deaths, but there were currently at that time, 15 million cases, what's working? The vaccine or the treatments? If there were only 74 deaths. And by the way, were the deaths among the people who have been vaccinated or among the people who had COVID? This is the fact-checking article. So I struggle so mightily, because as homeschoolers, we, and with the program that we pursue, we are engaged in teaching young people discernment, which is really the good definition of education. Education is to teach a young person discernment of truth, beauty, and goodness. And here I have this fantastic example of individuals who think they're very smart and do not know how to discern truth. So the article says there are studies that prove Layla Centner wrong. Do they list any of the studies? No, but I know they're out there. I know they're out there somewhere. There are studies. And you know what? There probably are studies that prove her wrong. I'm not saying that she's right. I'm just really struggling with vaxipedia.org and by the way, when I Googled or when I searched for this, and I used DuckDuckGo, so I try to get sort of the neutral, whatever response, whatever. This is what came up. This was number one or number two, maybe three on the list of articles about the Centner letter. So they quote, the author of this article quotes somebody, doesn't give the attribution. So we don't know who she's quoting. So she could be quoting her neighbor or he, I don't know who wrote this. And then she writes this: she may not know that they have been proven to prevent death, but the rest of us do. We just know it because we know what we know. And that's how you get people to go along with you, is you intimidate them into admitting that they agree with you. And that's basically what she's doing. More people believe that. Do you know at the time that Copernicus, I believe it was Copernicus, came out with his heliocentric view of the universe, meaning that the Earth revolved around the sun, literally the entire scientific community, with perhaps a few exceptions of people that he had spoken to personally and convinced, the entire community thought he was wrong. And right now, it seems like the entire community thinks that this woman is wrong, with the minor exception of some of us. So here's another, they have another quote. And this one they do quote what the study is, but they don't give any, links. So I look for links. I go, okay, what are their sources? So they do give a source, but there's no link. Many have been shown to prevent transmission of a different virus. That's great. She wrote, so the woman who runs the school wrote, "I believe strongly in health freedom and my body, my choice, and for that reason did not prevent employees from choosing to take the vaccine prior to April 21st. However, reports have surfaced of non-vaccinated people being negatively impacted by interacting with people who have been vaccinated." And she cites, "There have been thousands of reports, menstrual cycles being impacted, and a 366% increase in miscarriages." And their answer to that is, so much for vaccine choice. And so they're for choice, but not for your choice to not get the vaccine. And I'm guaranteeing these people are for discrimination against people who don't want to get the vaccine. It's really fascinating, this whole thing. I mean, the choice is, well, you don't have to go to work. Maybe you could Zoom your classes. We don't know. So it's a, what's what, here's the problem. The article is mean and nasty. That is not the way to win your case. If the article had been factually based and with good citations, but here's the thing. I don't even know who does Vaxipedia, probably just, you know, ridiculous. So, yeah, and I love this. This is the summary that the article author gives. Like everything else in the Centner Academy letter to parents and teachers, there is no evidence that recently vaccinated people are shedding. Now, why would there be no evidence? Is it because they aren't shedding? How long has it been? Or is it because nobody's gathering the evidence? If you pay for somebody to research something, they will find it, because they want more money to keep researching. And if you don't pay for somebody to research something, oh my gosh, they're probably not going to find it. I'm just guessing, but I think these teachers and staff members who avoid getting vaccinated to keep their jobs will be left at risk to get COVID, a life-threatening disease, and risk getting their friend. Okay, so anyway, I just want to talk to you about this new evidence that Judicial Watch has uncovered. California officials and a Biden-linked firm actually coordinated with big tech to censor election posts. That's according to Judicial Watch. And you can read the article up on the Epoch Times. Judicial Watch did the groundwork on this, well, all the work on this. And through a FOIA, through a Freedom of Information Act, they got the goods on California and on big tech. And this is groundbreaking. In fact, I saw a tweet, I believe by DC Drano, who said, oh, now we've got the goods on them. They actively suppressed my Twitter because of political bias. And there's going to be a lawsuit. And he wrote lawsuit with like dollar signs in it. California officials colluded with big tech to censor social media posts in the United States during the 2020 presidential election. And that's according to government watchdog group Judicial Watch. They announced this on Tuesday of this week. They received 540 pages and more of documents from the Office of the Secretary of State of California. They, in response to their request, they had filed the request in December. After they filed the request after a December report surfaced revealing that California's Office of Election Cybersecurity had surveilled and asked the social media giants to remove or flag as misleading at least 24 messages. So Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton, who used to come on my show all the time, I love that guy. He's amazing. He said that a firm called SKD Knickerbocker, which is a communications company that is linked to President Joe Biden's election campaign, they were involved in the censoring of speech during last year's election period. The company did this by sharing its, quote, misinformation daily briefings with California officials, who then passed them on to social media giants, Facebook, Twitter, and Google for dissemination. And that's according to Judicial Watch. He said this, Tom Fitton said this, these new documents suggest a conspiracy against the First Amendment rights of Americans by the California Secretary of State. Also the Biden campaign operation and big tech. So it's a triangle. So you want a conspiracy theory? Here's one on a silver platter. He added that the documents blow up this big lie that big tech censorship is just private. They just do it privately. The documents show collusion between a whole group of government officials in multiple states to suppress speech about election controversies. Well, frankly, we're seeing that all over the place. And I love this. Somebody pointed this out, and I can't remember who to attribute with this, but I saw that somebody was censored. So they posted something, and then Google or YouTube or whatever it was, they put that little flag thing on it that you had to click on if you wanted to still see it. But they put the little flagging thing on it to deter you from watching it that said this content or the content in this video or this content is disputed. What content is not disputed? Seriously. If I say 2 + 2 = 4, there will be people who dispute that. Well, it depends. So what content? But it's very clear that that is meant to be a deterrent. And by the way, they get away with it because, of course, it's disputed. Somebody's disputed it. So why not? The question is how much of the content that they quote unquote dispute is conservative leaning content. So according to Judicial Watch, the documents it obtained show how officials pushed big tech companies to censor social media posts. I think this thing is going to blow up. I hope it is anyway, because I think that would be good for the side of truth. Right? I think so. If you're listening on mojo50.com, thanks for listening and thanks for sharing. I am trying to grow my brand. So any help you give me in that way, talk about what I talk about, share the truth with people, I really appreciate. If you pick up a copy of my book, you can go to Amazon, or you can also go to samsorbo.com to get a copy of my book, Words for Warriors. And then if you're not listening on radio, but instead tuned in on YouTube, you should know that I also have a channel over at Locals. So sorbos.locals.com, where I post my videos, but also I'm doing some of my interviews behind the paywall there, just to try to grow that community and encourage you guys to join my husband and myself over there. We're very excited about that new venture, and then I've got some other news brewing that it's just in the works now, but I'll keep you posted on that as I can. I can't talk about it. It's very secret. I can't talk about it right now, but I will pretty soon. So, all right, let's move on. But you know, all of these things are of a piece. And so I want to talk about Facebook taking down a vaccine victims group. So then they just took it down, which is what, they digitally assassinated it like they did with my husband. They just took it down because they have the power to do that. And frankly, they have the power. Why shouldn't they be able to take down things that they disagree with? The reason is because they purport to offer one thing and then they change the rules. And so we don't appreciate that. So they took this vaccine victims group page down. It was called COVID-19 Vaccine Victims and Families. It shot up to 125,000 members. Now, in a previous segment, I have said, if you want to know the truth, look at what you're not allowed to say. which is kind of an interesting point of view. I think it comes from George Orwell. I'm not sure. But the, for instance, when somebody screams for tolerance, and this is part of my book, when somebody screams for tolerance, it's clear that they're lying. Because the truth is intolerant of the lie. And not in every single case, but sort of the general rule. So when they pull down free speech because it furthers a narrative that's again, and by the way, like here's my, like the real problem is why is saying stuff about the vaccine that's negative, why is that not allowed? Why is it not allowed? Well, because it's so important that everybody get vaccinated. Why? Well, because the vaccine cures COVID and will prevent the spread of COVID. Okay, prove it. They can't because the studies have not been concluded. And there's another story that I'm hoping to get to wherein the vaccine makers are actually destroying their studies. Why? Maybe it's not working. Maybe the vaccine isn't delivering on all the promises. And so they've got to wait. They want to push off the timeline for when the studies are due. So they destroy these studies. They start new studies. The whole thing is very suspect. It's suspect simply because of the way these people are behaving. They're bringing it on themselves. And so Facebook took down the vaccine victims and families because they don't want people telling their stories. And yeah, maybe all the stories are made up, but why not allow individuals to decide? It shot up to 125,000 members, was abruptly tossed in the graveyard of Facebook groups that challenge Zuckerberg's ideology. Well, it's true. It's his ideology. The group was filled with thousands of testimonies of victims of the experimental, well, they call it the experimental mRNA treatment. I'm sure you've heard the vaccine has this, and it's experimental in this, it's approved for experimental use. So the FDA says it's experimental. So I'm just saying what the FDA says. It's an mRNA. So it supposedly changes your gene structure somehow, does something with your genes. I'm not sure. That's not my field of study. The article goes on, from a 20-year-old girl who became paralyzed to a woman whose period stopped to a grandfather whose head swelled up to the size of a melon, and they included a photo of him, to a mother who lost sight in her right eye. And now this is where I take issue with this article. The side effects are frightening. We don't know that they are side effects. We know that they are coincidental health problems that seem to coincide with getting the vaccine. But coincidence is not causality. There's another phrase for that, but concurrence coincidence is not causality. Group administrator Dave Ward. So Dave Ward, I guess, started the page. He says in a post, the vaccine killed the mother of his children. And that's what motivated him to start the group. I'm very sad. I'm sorry about that. He says he blames the vaccine. He's entitled to freedom of speech. He's entitled to say whatever he wants, especially he's mourning the loss of his wife and the mother of his children. This is one of many fatal stories that were shared. Somebody just anecdotally the other day said to me, oh yeah, we know this guy, and his young secretary, who was like 23, went and got the vaccine and she turned up dead the next day, or, you know, she ended up dying the next day. And again, coincidence is not causality. Shouldn't these things be examined, since we know that this vaccine is only in the experimental phase and they can't prove that it doesn't cause injury? They can't prove that it doesn't cause injury, period. That's the problem that we face. At least they can't prove it on a, here's the thing. If they could prove that it doesn't cause injury, the FDA would have approved it as a vaccine, period. I guess that's the simplest way to sum it up. I don't know how to make it simpler. So I'm going to read you some of this because Facebook took it down. So why not? Maybe Google will take me down. That's okay because I'm available over at Locals. I haven't started filling my Rumble page, but I'm that's next on my list. I have a lot of stuff going on. It's the end of the year. Oh, maybe we'll get to that too. Okay. My mother-in-law received her first dose of Pfizer on Saturday, March 13th. She died less than 24 hours later. That's according to Tara McKenna Boss. Well, those are facts. She received the vaccine. She died 24 hours later. I'm very sorry for her loss. I don't know if the two are connected. I don't know. Only time will afford us enough hindsight to be able to connect more dots. We don't have enough dots yet. And we can only get more dots through time. And luckily, we have a number of people who are volunteering to participate in the study. So that's great. McKenna Boss says her mother-in-law was not supposed to get it, but she got it. So apparently it was ill-advised for her to get it. She got it because she was pressured by friends and by her employer to get it. That's sad. Then there's my friend's dad got the Pfizer vaccine. When he got the second dose, he had a widowmaker type heart attack. He died the next day. Huggins is the woman writing that, says the hospital told her that was just a coincidence. Could be. Could be. We don't know. Thousands of stories, it's reported, were in this group before it was removed. They had screenshots of the cited, the article that I'm reading has screenshots of the cited testimonies. Facebook has been a vicious opponent of all information that casts doubt on the effectiveness and safety of any of the COVID vaccines. Is Zuckerberg an investor with Bill Gates and Fauci? Interesting. Any post that even mentions the vaccine is auto-tagged with a link to a pro-vaccine website. And have you noticed? I've noticed I go on Instagram and Facebook, not very frequently, sadly, or maybe to my benefit. But I do go on those sites and I'm constantly being bombarded with ads to get the vaccine. It's all over. In fact, I can't drive around without seeing signs. Get your vaccine here. Appointments necessary. No appointment needed. All of that stuff. Let's see. And by the way, information is readily removed and users face 30-day bans for challenging the pro-vaccine narrative. Information on vaccine side effects are also regularly removed, even ones that cite the CDC and medical experts. I have personal reasons that I am actually disadvised to get the to get any shot, and so for that reason I'm not getting it. But I won't say if I would get the shot if I didn't have the reasons. But I have they give reasons that you might not want to get the shot, and I have those, so I don't have to make the decision just from the standpoint of playing the odds, which I think a lot of people are doing. Vaccine experts and skeptics, Del Bigtree, and you know Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been big in this space. They were both removed from the platform in January and February. Celebrities promoting the vaccines are regularly featured on the site, and pro-vaccine profile enhancements are offered prominently on news feeds of users. So he did set up a website in preparation for the group's removal because he thought that that was clever. And that website is C19, the numbers, not the letters spelling it out, C19vaccinevictims.com. And you can go there for more information. I'm going to talk now about this amazing story that vaccine makers are destroying their studies, their safety studies. And I just want to point out that these guys had the studies. They were doing the studies. They were undergoing all the tests. And now they're destroying them. And I don't know why. But that's not scientific. Just like a pause is not a scientific term. It is now, I suppose. They've made it that, but this is not scientific. Makers of COVID-19 vaccines are now destroying long-term safety studies by unbinding their trials and giving the control groups the active vaccine. claiming that it's unethical now to withhold an effective vaccine. I'm sorry. Are you flipping kidding me? What? So this is on Mercola, which is a site, and I, who knows? It's analysis by Dr. Joseph Mercola. You can believe it. You cannot believe it. I don't know. This is according to him. What they're doing is making it impossible to do any long-term safety assessment. Now, mind you, these people volunteered to be part of the study. They don't know if they got the vaccine or they didn't. If the study's any good, they haven't been told. So he writes this, it's ironic because vaccine mandates are being justified on the premise that the benefit to the community is more important than an individual's risk of harm. That's the premise, is that we think we're just going to err on the, we're just going to, no, not err. We're going to roll the dice and say that the vaccine will be more helpful to the group than the individual safety of the individual would warrant the not giving it. How do you like that? You get your vaccine for the group, not for you. See, I'm always suspect of that because I don't take part in groupthink. Vaccine mandates are justified on that premise. And yet, vaccine manufacturers are saying that participants in the control groups are harmed by not getting the vaccine, and saving the individual is more important than securing the data needed to make public health decisions. Getting the active vaccine comes with risk, not merely benefit, particularly true for this novel mRNA technology used in these vaccines. Do you get the chance that we're all just being played? Do you get the impression that we're all just being played somehow? That we're missing the joke? Like something's happening behind the scenes and we're just not quite understanding? As of April 1st, 2021, VAERS, which is the reporting service for adverse effects, vaccine adverse effects, RS, I can't remember. They had received 56,869 adverse events following the vaccination. There were 7,971 serious injuries, 2,342 deaths, 2,342 deaths. Now, it's funny because I recently covered an article that said there were only 75 deaths. So how's that possible? Well, we don't actually know. And I'm reading the highlights from this article. So I got to go find the link that he put up. But just to finish that sentence, 28% of the deaths occurred within 48 hours of vaccination. The youngest person to die was 18 years old. Now, I'm not saying that 18-year-olds don't die of natural causes or drug overdoses, illicit drug overdoses. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying an 18-year-old that dies within 48 hours of the vaccine, of being vaccinated, deserves our inspection. So getting the active vaccine comes with risk, not merely benefit, he says. And, Now there's a report saying that the vaccine is going to be tested on 6-year-olds. What? Okay. I think that's really all I can say about all of this. I get myself into more trouble than it's worth. I know that a lot of people, I talk to a lot of conservatives that are getting the vaccine, and that's great. Or the shot, whatever you want to call it. And that's, you know, we are free to choose. That's the beauty. Although I will say that if the reason to get the vaccine, which they're touting, is to protect the public in general, and there are reports that are apparently being ignored of people getting the vaccine having deleterious effects on people who haven't had the vaccine yet, then I wonder if the benefits will outweigh the risks. I guess that's really the upshot of it. All right. Well, that's my show for today. Thank you so much for listening on radio at mojo50.com. You get the full hour unedited, and at YouTube, I release videos every other day or so just to keep you guys interested. And hopefully you'll pass the videos around and help me grow my subscriber base. Also check out locals.com and join the sorbos.locals.com community. And behind the paywall, we'll be having perhaps more frank discussions. Let's see how it goes. Thank you also for all of your emails. In fact, I think I'm going to do just a special one to discuss many of the emails that I've been getting. I'm getting some really great commentary. I think that's what I'll do. So just stay tuned. There's lots more to come. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.